Whaley, whaley, whaley. Ta can only be twan tusen. Big jobs.
A fox peered cautiously around a tree. Through the rain-swept woods, a man was moving at speed while apparently lying down. He wore a nightcap, the bobble of which bounced on the ground. By the time the fox realised what was going on, it was too late. A small blue figure leapt out from under the rushing man and landed on its nose, smacking it between the eyes with its head.
See ya, grichta boons out a tis yan!
The Nac MacFeagle leapt down as the fox collapsed, grabbed its tail with one hand, and ran after the others, punching the air triumphantly.
Hoo boy, we can eat tonight!
They pulled the bed out into the middle of the room. Now Agnes and Oates sat on either side of it, listening to the distant sounds of Hodges Arg feeding the birds. There was the rattle of tins and the occasional yelp as he tried to remove a bird from his nose.
Sorry, said Agnes.
Pardon?
I thought you whispered something, said Agnes.
I was, saying a short prayer, said Oates.
Will that help? Said Agnes.
It helps me. The prophet Bruther said that Om helps those who help, one another.
And does he?
To be honest, there are a number of opinions of what was meant.
How many?
About, 160, since the schism of 10:30 a.m. February the 23rd. That was when the reunited Free Chelonianists, Hubwood's convocation, schismed from the reunited Free Chelonianists, Rimwood's convocation. It was rather serious.
Blood spilled, said Agnes. She wasn't really interested, but it took her mind off whatever might be waking up in a minute.
No, but there were fisticuffs, and a deacon had ink spilled on him.
I can see that was pretty bad.
There was some serious pulling of beards as well.
Gosh!
Sects maniacs, said Perdita.
You're making fun of me, said Oates solemnly.
Well, it does sound a little, trivial. You're always arguing. The Prophet Bruther said, let there be 10,000 voices, said the priest. Sometimes I think he meant that it was better to argue amongst ourselves, than go out putting unbelievers to fire and the sword.
It's all very complicated, he sighed.
There are 100 pathways to Om. Unfortunately, I sometimes think someone left a rake lying across a lot of them. The vampire was right. We've lost the fire.
But you used to burn people with it.
I know, I know.
Agnes saw a movement out of the corner of her eye. Steam was rising from under the blanket they'd pulled over Granny Weatherwax. As Agnes looked down, Granny's eyes sprang open and swiveled from side to side. Her mouth moved once or twice.
And how are you, Miss, Weatherwax? Said Mightily Oates in a cheerful voice.
She was bitten by a vampire. What sort of question is that? Agnes hissed.
One that's better than what are you?
Oates whispered.
Granny's hands twitched. She opened her mouth again, arched her body against the rope, and then slumped back against the pillow. Agnes touched her forehead and drew her hand back sharply.
She's burning up. Hodges Arg, bring some water.
Coming, miss.
Oh, no,
whispered Oates. He pointed to the ropes. They were unknotting themselves, stealthily moving across one another like snakes. Granny half rolled, half fell out of the bed, landing on her hands and knees. Agnes went to pick her up and received a blow from an elbow that sent her across the room. The old witch dragged the door open and crawled out into the rain. She paused, panting as the drops hit her. Agnes swore that some of them sizzled. Granny's hands slipped. She landed in the mud and struggled to push herself upright. Blue-green light spilled out from the mew's open door. Agnes looked back inside. Hodges Arg was staring at a jam jar in which a point of white light was surrounded by a pale blue flame that stretched well beyond the jar and curled and pulsed.
What's that?
My phoenix feather, miss. It's burning the air.
Outside, Oates had pulled Granny upright and had got his shoulder under one of her arms.
She said something, he said. I am, I think.
She might be a vampire.
She just said it again. Didn't you hear?
Agnes moved closer, and Granny's limp hand was suddenly gripping her shoulder. She could feel the heat of it through her sodden dress, and made out the word in the hiss of the rain.
Iron, said Oates. Did she say iron?
There's the castle forge next door, said Agnes. Let's get her in there.
The forge was dark and cold, its fire only lit when there was work to be done. They pulled Granny inside, and she slipped out of their grip and landed on hands and knees on the flagstones.
But iron's no